Hello, this is Maria Vasquez Boyd, and you're listening to ArtSpeak Radio on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in and making us a priority. We love that you're listening to us at 90.1 FM or online, kkfi.org. Thanks so much. Hey, I want to say thank you to Calvin and Dayton, who did our station ID. They did a great job. Thank you, guys. You were wonderful. They're visiting from Tuscaloosa, Iowa, or something. No, I'm just making that up. But anyway, I want to tell you that we have a full room of wonderful guests here in the studio today. Live in the studio, we have Chris Dahlquist, we have Arts KC, Allison Patterson, we have Eric and Aaron Dodson from Kiosk Gallery. We've got all kinds of wonderful information to share with you, and they will tell you what's going on in their neck of the world. So let's get started. We're going to talk to Allison Patterson, who's the Arts KC Director of Development, talking about the mission of Arts KC. It's to unleash the power of the arts. And they are building a city of great dreams and vigorous life where everyone participates and benefits from the arts. They are a nonprofit organization serving the five-county region, Clay, Platte, and Jackson in Missouri, Johnson and Wyandotte in Kansas. So let's get started with Allison Patterson. Welcome, my friend.
Thank you so much. We're so excited to be here.
Well, we love Arts KC. We love what you do in the community for our artists and you know, making a role, having a presence in the community. So thank you.
Absolutely.
Well, there's so much going on. You're one of the most well-known programs here in Kansas City. Tell us about some of the programs that you offer our community.
Yes. Well, again, Maria, thank you so much for having us here. And, you know, as you said, our mission is to unleash the power of the arts in our region. And, you know, we have so many exciting ways that we are doing that. We are promoting the arts, and we just launched June 2nd a really exciting website called artskcgo.com.
Terrific.
And, you know, it is free to arts organizations. It is obviously free to the public, and it is a place for you to find your fit in the arts. So right now we have about 148 organizations and counting that are represented on the website. Right now we have about 250 events that you can find. I mean, if you went to artskcgo.com right now on our website, you would see tonight that the Olathe Public Library is hosting Harmonic Alternative Folk with Flagship Romance. You would see on Friday that the KC Vita Summer Series and Arts in the Loop is doing Silly Walks presented by the Kansas City Public Library. So we hope to really become a great resource for our community through artskcgo.com to find your fit. And in the fall, we will be adding an artist portal. So then you can go and find some of these artists who are going to be in your studio today some of the artists that Aaron was just talking about earlier. We will continue to add on to that resource for the public.
Well, and it makes a lot of sense, you know, online, because as we lose more and more of our publishing houses and magazines and newspapers and all that, it really is the source of your information online.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, we also have calendar partners. So we are working to make it easier for those calendars who already curate great information for our public. But maybe they just focus on dance, or maybe they just focus on visual arts. Well, they are our partners in this, and so our information is also being given to their calendars so that they can take that resource and their calendars become even more vibrant. So wherever your listeners may be accessing their information to find art in our community, they can find it, and we are that wheel. We are providing that for the community.
You know, and I want to ask you, if someone has a listing that they want to place on the Arts KC, how is that done? How do they do that?
Well, right now you need to be an arts 501c3 arts organization. Okay. That's all we have right now to get placed. But again, you should absolutely watch the website and watch the artskc.com website, .org website, I'm sorry. so that you can access when that will be coming more available for individual artists. But again, that won't be happening until the fall.
Okay. You know, and right now I just want to take a minute to give a shout out to our dear Paul Tyler. He may be listening. I should call him Crash. He was a long time with Arts KC. So hello, my friend. You know, I want to mention also that you have a program called Now Showing.
Yes.
That matches local artists to show the work in corporate spaces. Let's talk about that.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, we love our Now Showing program. We represent artists within the community, and then we match them with corporations who are looking to have that art within their building. Mm-hmm. So the great part about what we do is we represent that artist. Again, we find the match. So we have several hundred artists within our repertoire, but then we work with companies. Right now, we have a waiting list of companies that want to get out there and show that art. So, I mean, we are super excited even about that for our ability to get out there and have more artists. And then what we also do is we help that artist sell that art. And so we get those artists placed in places where they might not be seen otherwise. It advances their career. And that, again, is really our mission to help be that person that lifts up artists and arts organizations in our community.
So it's out of the gallery space and an actual working environment where it may not have had the opportunity before to
absolutely
be placed. Yeah,
absolutely.
That's terrific.
Some of these artists come from our grant-making program. So that's that's another way that we support the arts in the community. So we are able to grant out dollars into the community. And, you know, we just had something really super exciting and fun happen this last week.
Tell us.
We were able to grant dollars for arts education in our community.
Wow, yeah.
I know. How exciting is that?
That's huge.
There is a partnership here in town, which is pretty incredible. It's called the Kansas Missouri Kennedy Center Partners in Education, and it has the Carlson Center for Performing Arts in Johnson County, Shawnee Mission School District, the Nelson Atkins, and the Liberty School District, and they are piloting a groundbreaking education initiative focusing on professional development through K-12 teachers, because you know what we know is that that everybody learns in a different way, and many times when we can bring the arts into our learning environment, we are able to really ignite that passion in our students. So this initiative alone expects to impact 450 to 500 teachers in the Shawnee Mission and Liberty School District, and probably about 1,200 or 1,300 students. 12,500 or 13,000 students in our area. We were only able to do that because we received an amazing grant from the David T. Beals Foundation. But again, that's what we do, is we connect those resources in the community and put them together with these groundbreaking initiatives that are going on.
Well, that's terrific, because, you know, I don't know how many folks realize that you do work with local government and civic leadership to advocate for the arts.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, you will hear more about our advocacy in the coming months. We have just worked, and Paul Tyler is really helping to head that up. The Americans for the Arts has just put out their Arts and Economics Prosperity Study. This is the fifth study that we've participated in. And so what that does is it really shows the economic impact to our community that the arts bring. And we are still digesting the information that we have. But again, we have partnered with the city of Kansas City, Missouri, in Johnson County, to bring that collective together. And so then on October 10th and 11th, we will be bringing in lots of knowledge leaders in that area to help our arts community know and understand the impact to the economy that it has, so that they can better advocate on their own behalf. But again, that's, you know, Arts KC is really of bringing that collective together and working with those two entities as in a partnership.
Well, and if anyone has attended First Fridays, they, you know, they understand, you know, the large groups of people that come to see art and participate and just be a part of that gathering and celebration of the arts. So it does have an impact, you know, economically.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and again, we are just digesting all of that information. Much of the information that we had in our last study really talked about the impact of the dollars that were being specifically driven into building, so like the Kauffman Center and the Todd Bolander Center. But now we're really understanding what it means in terms of, you know, the meals that people are eating and, you know, the different resources around in town and what that brings to our community.
You know, and I mentioned First Friday. I doubt you have anything going on, do you?
No, we never have anything going on.
It's the first Friday in August, so
yes, absolutely, and we hope that everyone will come by and join us. We love our art space, in the artist right now is really pretty fantastic. We also have on Saturday we have a special opportunity if we have sports fans who are also out there. Who are listening? The Royals, very generously support the arts, and they support Arts KC. And so Saturday is Arts Day at the K. And so if you are looking to go to the game, on Sunday for the game, then you can go to artskc.org/. Arts Day at the K, and you can purchase your tickets. And the Royals will donate $5 of every single ticket back, and then you have become a part of that our mission to unleash the power of the arts. You then have brought First Fridays to our community. You have impacted education. You know, so again, it's a small way that you can support the arts in our community.
Terrific. And if you just tuned in, I'm talking to Allison Patterson, who's the Arts KC Director of Development. We're talking about the Arts Day at the K, August 6th at 11:30 in the morning at the Kauffman Stadium. And it's where Royal fans will get a chance to view Anthony Oropeza's original art, coloring pages, and meet the artist. A shout out to Anthony Oropeza. I know he's listening, so we love you. So all Royals fans and visitors at the Kauffman Stadium on August 6th at 11:30 will have an opportunity to pick up free coloring pages inspired by your hometown sports artist, Anthony Oropeza. Fans will also be able to view a portion of his Royal Sports Art Collection. And if you love the Royals and you love sports arts and coloring, this section of the ballpark is where you want to be for your pregame warm-up. So, yes. That's terrific. You know, I very seldom think about the arts and sports, and this is a great partnership.
Absolutely. Well, and again, it is a way that if you don't necessarily know your fit within the arts, but you're a sports enthusiast, you are participating, and you are enhancing and igniting and unleashing the power of the arts.
It makes a difference.
Yeah, it does.
And I want to mention that Arts KC is located at 106 Southwest Boulevard here in Kansas City, Missouri. And ArtsKC.org is their website. And I know it, the website has so many listings about the mission, the history, the staff, and all that. There's, again, now showing and so many more programs. Artists Inc., is that under the umbrella of ArtsKC?
Artists Inc. was born from Kansas City, but it's not with ArtsKC anymore, but it was born from us. So yes, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, again, that's our mission, is we bring it, we bring it to the table, and then, let others who have that capacity really, take it and shine.
Yeah. Well, I was the second class of the Artists Inc., so
that's
like I'm a little farther away from what's going on. But we do love ArtsKC because, they're unleashing that power of the arts.
Yes, we
have such a terrific, I say this every week, we have such a terrific creative community of artists and makers and people here in Kansas City. We're just very, very fortunate and that we have ArtsKC to look out for us and offer us opportunities.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
I just feel such gratitude to be able to work on behalf of that creative community that you just described. It is my passion, and so I feel really grateful.
And now, I do want to mention that you have the Resource Center online as well.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
So,
anything else that I left out?
Well, you know, if you go to our website, please do look under our luncheon. You know, we are still we are still taking nominations. Our luncheon happens in February, but that is where we really highlight all of the arts organizations, the companies in Kansas City, advocates, schools who are really creating and making a difference. And so we would love for you to go there, look for that nomination, and nominate an artist, a company who's making a big difference.
What is the criteria? Yeah.
There are different criteria for the different awards, and so that's probably, it would be difficult for me to describe the criteria, but just go and take a look, because we have individuals that we celebrate. Again, we have companies that we celebrate. We have arts organizations. We have schools that we celebrate. And we want to celebrate those people in our community. And we don't know about them if you don't nominate them. So
you still have time.
Yes,
you still have time.
Absolutely.
Because this will take place in February of 2018.
It does. So. It does. But those, we're hoping to get those nominations in, by next week. So I would just encourage folks to check it out.
Is that the deadline? Next week?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. August 11th.
Yeah. If you know someone, put their name in the hat.
Absolutely. Put their name in the hat. We want to see it.
Yeah, very good. Allison, is there anything else that we need to discuss that we left out? ArtsKC, there's so much to ArtsKC that, I would just encourage folks to find out more information through ArtsKC.org.
Yes, absolutely. We really are doing so much in the community that we really are trying to focus on those three pillars, which are promote and support and advocate for the arts. And you'll see in the fall, again, if you wanted to think back to our support, you'll begin to see the grants that we will be making to our Ovation and our Catalyst grantees. Those are our small to mid-sized organizations and our larger organizations. And then again, coming up in the fall, if you are an individual artist, we will have an opportunity for you to apply to receive a grant. And, much like Artists Inc., which when you came through, it is meant to be a transformative process. So, one of the great successes that we feel and see is when our artists then take that next step. So then perhaps they have a show in one of the galleries that you will be talking about later in this broadcast. Or, in September, I believe it's September the 16th. I apologize. I don't have the date right in front of me. But the Kemper Museum is highlighting women in metals. And they've got a beautiful show that you should go and see. And these are women who are early in their career. Mm-hmm. They specifically deal with metals. And three of those women have been Arts KC grant recipients.
Terrific.
And again, that just shows, you know, that that transformative power. And the next step is obviously they're showing in a hugely reputable museum here
That's
in town.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Great. Allison Patterson, thank you so much
for having me.
Well, thank you for sharing all this information that's good for the community. Thank you so very much. And I know we'll see you again, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Terrific.
Thanks.
And we're going to be right back with ArtSpeak Radio right after this.
KKFI is provided by the Kansas City Parks and Recreation Department Summer Concert Series, presenting the musicianship and diversity of the 9-member party band, The Fantastics. Friday, August 11th from 7 to 9 p.m. on the historic grounds of the Kansas City Museum, 3218 Gladstone Boulevard. The Fantastics cover rock, rap, dance, funk, jazz, and soul. No tickets are required. More information is available at kansascitymuseum.org.
Hi, I'm Russ Simmons.
And I'm Susan Sanders.
And this is Take Two, two takes at a movie currently playing in the Kansas City area. And today the topic is a decadent action film based on a graphic novel, and it's called Atomic Blonde.
Wow, this truly had a wow factor. Charlize Theron was tremendous in her role as a spy. You didn't know really who she was working for until the end. But the special effects and the fight scenes were incredible.
Yeah, Charlize Theron and the fight scenes are really what make this. The spectacular hand-to-hand combat was really, really well choreographed and ultra-violent. And I have to warn people that this movie does earn its R rating with sex and violence. It's kind of a celebration of sex and violence.
Yes, it is. And the violence was so incredibly intense that people in the audience began to laugh nervously, I thought.
Laugh nervously and gasp from time to time.
Yes. You know, it's based on this graphic novel, The Coldest City, and it is like a 1980s music video in some respects.
It takes place
in the 80s.
Right before the fall of the Berlin Wall.
Mm-hmm.
And so it really transports you to that era through the music and through the visuals, even though it wasn't even filmed in Berlin. It was filmed in Budapest. But that sure looked good to me.
Oh, yes. And the soundtrack is worth owning if you love 80s music, and it starts out with music from The Hunger, for those of you who remember that film, with David Bowie singing. It's just very stylish. It creates an atmosphere that is suspenseful, but there's really no character development. It's just the plot, and there you go.
It's ludicrous, but has a kinetic energy that some people will really take to. I'm Russ Simmons.
And I'm Susan Sanders.
And this is Take Two.
And I'm Maria Vasquez Boy. This is ArtSpeak Radio on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Yay! So with all of that, I want to talk a little bit about Columbus Park, because the next guests that we have on are, they have an artist-run gallery space. Eric and Aaron Dodson run the Kiosk Gallery, and it's in Columbus Park. So I just want to give you a little backstory about Columbus Park, which is located east of the River Market between 9 Highway and I-35. It's where Kansas City was born when immigrants landed on the banks of the Missouri River. Columbus Park is one of the Kansas City's best melting pots, and it is experiencing a small revival. That's kind of a, yeah, I think it's a big revival. Proud Vietnamese and Italian communities still thrive in the region today. Columbus Park is technically part of the Northeast region, but it feels like a little city that has defined boundaries, its own culture, and it doesn't really care what is going on outside. So welcome Eric and Aaron Dodson of the Kiosk Gallery.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
You bet. So let's talk about the Kiosk Gallery. It's an artist-run gallery space, and you're bringing the work of emerging artists to the public. You're providing a space for artists to grow their ideas and so much more. So tell us really a little bit of history about Kiosk.
Kiosk Gallery started in 2012. We were actually in a space very close to here at the studio at 39th and Broadway.
Okay.
We just had a small room inside the back of the Open Fire Pizza place.
Oh, yeah.
So that was a pizza place just down the street a few years ago. And there was kind of a lot going on in that space. And, it was... there was a lot to do, a lot to see, and it was kind of wild. So we noticed that there was a small area, a small office that was not being utilized, and we thought, well, we could put up walls and have kind of a small curated gallery space in this space to kind of get our own ideas going and get some local artists showing in there. So that ended in after a couple of years, and we looked around for a new place, and we landed in Columbus Park. Because of the availability of the storefront space that we're in now, it was just the right size.
It's great. Yeah, it's got some great visibility.
Yeah, we love the visibility. We love the neighborhood, the foot traffic. We have great businesses around us. We have, there's a lot of different things you can do in Columbus Park, but also there's a gallery community there already that's been going since 2001, the Trap Gallery opened. So. Mm-hmm. They had kind of established Third Fridays as their gallery night, so we were able to just jump right in, continue our Third Friday events that we were already doing, and just start doing shows.
Yeah, and it's really like a festival. I think the times that I've been down there for Third Fridays and all that, because most of the galleries do participate, and it's just very family-friendly, and, it's... a walking neighborhood, really.
Definitely,
yeah. Now, Eric, you are both artists.
That's right.
What sort of work did you do, or do you do?
Well, I focus primarily on assemblage in my visual work. I'm also a musician and writer. I'm from the Wichita area. I studied at Wichita State, graphic design and studio arts, and I've just spent most of my life exploring basically anything that seems interesting in whatever discipline. So I think those sort of experiences growing up and getting out of college have kind of informed the way we look at our gallery practice. Mm-hmm. So when I met Aaron, we both shared some similar experiences and similar feelings about how it can be kind of intimidating if you don't really know the community and you're wondering how to find inroads into that community. So I think a lot of the experiences that we've had sort of led us to develop the way that we focus on working with artists and that kind of thing.
And where do you find your artists? Are they mostly from Kansas City?
Usually. And part of that is just because of the scale of our operation, trying to do this while I have a full-time job. It's simpler to work with local artists, but also we want to build a community, and that's a great way to do that, is working with people who are already involved in the arts in Kansas City and are looking for a place to show their work, and get some ideas going, and and get things working in our community.
You know, if you've just tuned in, I'm talking to Eric and Aaron Dodson of the Kiosk Gallery, which is an artist-run gallery space at 916 East 5th Street, Kansas City, Missouri, in Columbus Park. KioskGalleryKC.com is their website. I love that you're both visual artists, so you know what it's like to right. have to begin to show your work and the amount of work that goes into that.
Right.
But you also keep making work as well as running the gallery space.
Right.
Yeah. I love here that you say, we aim for inclusiveness and transparency in art and gallery activities to help educate the young artists we work with and to encourage participation and the building of community. That's really important to you, huh?
Right. Yeah, I think the main thing that a gallery provides, at this level at least, is walls. And artists are coming in and not really having that context necessarily if they've never done a solo exhibition of, you know, how much work does it take to get it ready? It's not just making the art. You have to get it ready to show, and you have to decide how to curate the show, how to arrange the work, what the context is. But so kind of for people who it's their first solo exhibition, we do a lot of those, kind of getting them into the idea of how to present their work.
Mm-hmm. It's a good way to begin, because you don't, you know, unless you've had the opportunity before. I mean, everything matters.
Right.
Lights and placement and,
yeah.
you know, all
and we
of
can
that.
Help a lot with those kind of things uh-huh. where people may have not had the opportunity to think about lighting or to think about how the arrangement of their work maybe changes the way people see it. What's the narrative or what's the timeline mm-hmm. or what are the different ways yeah. that you can, how does putting it on the wall change the interpretation of the work, basically?
Absolutely. And you would agree too, Eric?
Sure. Yeah. It's a collaboration between ourselves and the artists. So each scenario is different. Some artists just want to have us pick out the work and make arrangements, and that's basically it. You know, they want to hand it over to us so that we can do our part. Other artists have a really defined notion of a specific layout or a concept or something like that, and in that kind of case, we would be helping them more so to execute that vision.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we know our space, and we know what kinds of things we can do in that space, so again, it's that collaborative effort that's a little bit different each time, which also makes it interesting for us, but it does afford those kind of opportunities to help different levels of experience, perhaps elevate their skill sets in certain cases. And there are certainly cases in which we're learning something from the artist, which is great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, taking something from them as well in terms of experience or whatever. Last time I was there, it was our friend Christina Munez who was showing her work. Hello, Christina. She's in San Antonio right now. But currently, who are you showing there at Kiosk?
This month, we have one more weekend of open hours for Tracy Haynes' show. Tracy makes photograms, which is kind of a cameraless photography process.
Mm-hmm.
And that will be open for another week or so, but we'll be open this weekend, Friday 12 to 6 and Saturday 12 to 4, if you want to see that show. But Tracy is, her background is journalism, and then she studied teaching, and now she's a teacher in St. Louis, so this is mm-hmm. kind of something she does separately from that.
Well, and as part of the write-up, you know, you're talking about the camera-less photographs.
Right.
Which I find really intriguing, using ink, natural materials, and other media to create mostly impermanent negatives that deteriorate quickly. You know, the images are printed in the traditional black and white darkroom and then scanned to make archival limited edition digital prints. Are these small works or are they?
I think they start fairly small because uh-huh. they're made in the dark room, but she's blowing them up to a kind of a medium size work, I guess mm-hmm. you could say. So they're about 16 by 20 approximately. But she's able to take those original sources and make them as big as she wants. I think she's talking about doing a really large one at some point.
Wow. And then she is from St. Louis, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How do you find your bevy of artists to show work? Do you have a call for submissions, or how does that work?
We have generally an open policy, and we get a lot of emails Also, people who come into the shows may talk to us. Sometimes artists are referred to us from other artists with whom we've worked. So it's pretty open. It's very organic, which has really been the story for us since the very beginning. We started not really knowing anyone in the local art mm-hmm. community, and we did a couple of open calls for group shows, and that's how we really met kind of an influx of people at the very beginning. And from that, each show you have, you know, you meet new artists, you meet some of those artists' friends and mm-hmm. and colleagues and whatnot. And so we're just sharing our crowd kind of in a viral sense, and it's yeah. really snowballed. So sure, we get emails from all over, and sometimes it can just come from the website or something like that, and a lot of times it comes, I think, from word of mouth, which is yeah. one of the great things about the Kansas City art community that we've found, is that sort of sense of community and sharing with each other what's going on, people we've found out about, or places that are doing good things. So mm-hmm. it's all yeah. that kind of generous spirit between other people in the community who are doing things that's really made all of this possible for us.
Yeah, and I would even say, even with within the Columbus Park, because again, there's several galleries that are artists operated and that sort of thing. Do you find that area, has it become more popular? Is it kind of undergoing a renaissance in terms of, you know, the crowd that comes to Third Fridays, since they're building a lot, just sort of from the Market area.
And so we've been in there for about 2 years now. And so Chris, the next guest, I'm sure could tell you more about what's been going on for a long time. But I definitely feel like we've seen a lot of change just in the short time that we've mm-hmm. been there. And we've heard people who've lived there for a long time saying they've seen a lot of mm-hmm. a lot of activity and a lot of interest in the neighborhood, and it's a great place to live and
it
a great
really
place
is.
To visit.
It
yeah
is.
And they're building quite a bit. They're building new apartments, and so there's going to be kind of a denser population at some point, but mm-hmm. I don't know, it's a really interesting place to visit.
So let me ask you, do you all have your calendar filled up for till the end of the year at
right.
the gallery?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Who can we look forward to seeing?
So in August, we will have paintings by Christopher Lawrence, who is a professor at UCM. September 15th, we'll have drawings by Bob Kolar, who's a professional illustrator, and this is his art project stuff. October 20th, we'll have ceramic sculpture by Sidney Ross. And November 17th, we'll have constructed paintings by Jerry Trilling. And so all of these for the rest of the year, these are all local artists, all local solo shows.
That sounds great. Kiosk Gallery, kc.com is the website. Kiosk Gallery is located at 916 East 5th Street, Kansas City, Missouri. And Tracy Haynes' show runs through August 10th, open Fridays 12 to 6, and then by appointment, right?
Right. We are happy to come in anytime and show people those shows.
Well, we love Kiosk Gallery. It's a must-see place when you're in Columbus Park for Third Fridays. It really is. So, anything that I left out that you want to mention to our listeners?
If you wanted to see any other events in Columbus Park, the Third Friday Art Crawls, you can go to columbusparkart.com.
Oh, great.
And they usually keep that updated with all of the shows that are going on in Columbus Park. So there'll be lots to see next Third Friday, too.
Very good. Well, thank you so much, Eric and Aaron. You will come back, yes?
Absolutely, sure. Anytime. Thank you for having us.
You bet. And we're going to be right back with ArtSpeak Radio after this.
Thank you.
and you're listening to ArtSpeak Radio. This is Maria Vasquez Boyd with you every Wednesday, noon to 1 p.m. on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio, and online. We stream live audio, kkfi.org. So thank you for making us a priority. As I mentioned, Columbus Park is sort of the place to be on third Fridays. It's located east of the River Market between 9 Highway and I-35. And it has really become one of Kansas City's premier spots for neighborhoods and activities and gallery openings and all that. Next up, my guest, Chris Dahlquist, is joining us live here in the studio. And she learned to use a camera in a darkroom as she was learning to ride a bicycle and write in cursive. Originally from Fort Worth, she wrote her first artist statement on a Big Chief tablet in phonetic Texan, claiming for herself a life of travel and taking pictures. Oh, that's cute. She has held a camera in her hands ever since. Now, as the historic Columbus Park neighborhood where they live, and they have a studio, it's becoming increasingly popular. They have decided, her and her husband, Kyle, have decided to open our fabulous studio space to host guest artists in the newly formed Gillis Art Lab. Their vision is for it to become a welcoming and casual space for artists to test ideas and to show work outside of a formal gallery setting, and really to demystify the creative process by allowing viewers to see work in progress. And it is a grand adventure. And so are you. You're a grand adventure. Welcome, Chris.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
This is terrific. You know, a lot of times when people look at art, they see the finished product. They see what's on the wall. They see what's standing in the gallery space. So let's talk about this Gillis Gallery Art Lab.
Well, it's in the front space of my studio, and I've been in that space in Columbus Park since 2009, and I've always welcomed my collectors into the space by appointment, and really saw how much they lit up and how interested they were in seeing the whole process beyond just the piece on the wall. And so we wanted to make that available beyond just our work, and for artists to interact with people in a different way, to be able to open up their process.
Mm-hmm. Is that, I mean, that's a pretty bold move. You know, I mean, you have to be pretty trusting that, you know, the work is actually going to be sort of a work in progress and all, and then opening up your space. I know we had talked on the phone the other day about people pressing their faces onto the windows and doors and kind of wanting to see what was in there.
Right. I think people really are interested in process. You mentioned my husband, Kyle. I'm married to a musician.
We love Kyle.
And
yes.
And I see the way that musicians get to interact with their audience in a different way than visual artists often get to. You know, it's this collaborative between the audience and the musician, or it's this dialogue happening as the work is being made. And oftentimes visual artists are sequestered in their studio until this finished piece comes out. And so I think that dialogue can enrich both people's experience, both the audience and the artist themselves.
You know, I find it interesting. I love to sit back and watch the public talk to an artist, an individual, you know, in the gallery or whatever, because it's almost as though they're seeing this specter, they're seeing this unicorn, this rare creature, and not very many people have the opportunity to talk one-on-one with an artist or to find out about what they're thinking or what this means and that, kind of pick their brains. So I think it's really a rare occasion, you know, when we can actually sort of meet up with an artist. So this is kind of puts that individual in the place where this art is happening, where this creation is occurring, right?
Right, right. And it informs, it helps inform the artist as well, to have that dialogue with the audience. Mm-hmm. You know, it has, it shaped the way I have built my entire career. For 18 years, I've shown work primarily at places like the Plaza Art Fair, but shows like that across the country. And mm-hmm. really, that is about wanting to have that direct interaction with the public and with the audience and being able to demystify mm-hmm. the process.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that word, demystify. And Gillis Gallery Art Lab is located at 1029 East 5th Street, Kansas City, Missouri. ChrisDahlquist.com is the website. So what is taking place right now, and how do people get involved with the Gillis Gallery Art Lab?
Well, the next up at the Art Lab is we're opening it as a residency, as a place for the next artist to explore. So Megan Gallant, a local artist who I've worked with for quite some time, is going to be in there working, essentially living for the next 6 weeks. And so whether she decides to open the doors on Third Friday in August will really, really be up to her. She's got agency and is going to take over the space. It will give her an opportunity to really focus on her upcoming work. And then the doors will be open in October to see the results of her residency. As I mentioned, a lot of our, a lot of my practice revolves around travel. And so while we're gone, it's going to be a great opportunity for another artist to be able to use all of the tools we have, all the tools, the space will be at her disposal to do what she wants with it.
And it's a great partnership, because as you're making art and you're traveling and you're doing, you know, what you are called to do, you also have this space where it gives someone else an opportunity to create and really flourish as an artist. Let's talk about where you're going. What's going on with you? Because I think it's important to know.
This trip is a combination of a shooting trip that I take every summer. I tend to go and photograph primarily the month of August. Not a bad time with the heat to be out of Kansas City. So we're going to start in the Tetons, then just make our way west. It also includes a couple of shows that I'm going to have, one in Bend, Oregon, and one in Portland, Oregon. And then that,
two of my favorite places.
And August is a beautiful time to be there.
What's not to love?
And then and then that trip culminates with a large public installation that I'm doing in downtown Denver, Colorado.
So, yeah, this sounds real exciting.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I'm partnering with a curator that I've worked with for almost 20 years to build a site-specific installation in downtown Denver. So it's the largest project that either she or I have undertaken. And it's in progress in the studio right now, set to open September 19th in Denver.
Now, as you're talking about the sort of demystifying the creative process, are there photographs or are there some sort of images of the work that you're creating for this large-scale installation that we might be able to take a peek at?
There are. There's some photos at ChrisDahlquist.com. And then that was also what I did for Third Friday, last Third Friday in the Gillis Art Lab, was I had all my sketches, I had all my maquettes, I had the first piece that will be installed in Denver that has been completed. Most of it's going to be actually assembled in Denver, but we did obviously assemble one to make sure it all works. So we had that on display in the lab, and people were really able to see kind of what had gone into, or the thought process behind making the work.
And do you, I would imagine that you would really encourage and really love the dialogue that takes place with the viewers of the work. You know, why did you do this? And what, you know, did you try that? I mean, did you have that sort of conversation with folks?
It was a great conversation to be able to have all evening and to see what they noticed in the piece that maybe are things that I hadn't recognized about it yet. Sometimes when you're in the creative process or you're making the work, you're so close to it that you don't have this opportunity to stand back. So displaying it for others to see allowed me to stand back and take a little wider view of it and then really learn a lot about the piece I was making from the people that were viewing it. It was a really nice night.
Well, and I'm sure there's questions that go through your mind or some affirmations that come out of that dialogue, that conversation. You're talking about the piece that you're working on. What are we talking about? Is it metal? Is it something that's fabricated out of
materials? It is folded metallic paper. So it the result is it looks quilted. There's a lot of ambiguity. There's a lot of ambiguity in all of my work as to what materials you're looking at. But my work tends to be about pairing material with the image to further the story of the image. And so my materials aren't necessarily consistent from one series to another, but they always are meant to emphasize some aspect of the traditional photography.
And again, your website for folks to take
Chris a look? ChrisDahlquist.com, and Dahlquist has got an H, so it's ChrisDahlquist.com.
Do you have other social media, Instagram or any of that that you want to share with
us?
Sure.
On Facebook, I'm at Chris Dahlquist Studio, and on Instagram, Chris Dahlquist Studio as well.
So you're going to be heading out before too long, right?
Yes, we head out, knock on wood, this Sunday, August 6th.
Yeah. And then Kyle just puts away his accordion or whatever he's playing at that time.
He typically packs an instrument or two with him and does some woodshedding while we're out on the road.
That's got to be a great time for both of you. You know, just being in a different geographic area, especially.
Yeah, it's really enriches both of our practices.
Mm-hmm. Does it inform you on maybe future work? I mean, do you sort of think ahead once you're working on this, but you're there? Do you think, oh, okay, here's another idea that I might take in a different direction?
I spend a lot of time in my journal, a lot of time sketching, and then obviously just a lot of time with my camera in my hands. My camera at that point kind of functions as a sketchbook as well as I'm grabbing images to explore further. Oftentimes the photograph becomes it's the raw material that I then bring back into the studio. So I think of it as out gathering raw materials to bring back to begin working with.
So if you're interested to learn more, ChrisDahlquist.com, Gillis Gallery Art Lab at 1029 East 5th Street, Kansas City, Missouri. Will you be open? When will you be open next?
Well, we know for sure we'll be open third Friday in October with the results of Megan's residency. I'm leaving it up to Megan, I think that's the best way to have a residency is kind of without a ton of expectation or constraint on your time, so that it can really be about exploration while she's there. When you're at the Kiosk Gallery, we're literally a block east of there. So when you're at the Kiosk Gallery, stop by, see if Megan's light is on in August. Otherwise, we will be back in town and see everybody in October.
See, and that's the fun thing about the Columbus Park area, the galleries and also, I should say, restaurants and the neighborhood. It's all within walking distance. So, you know, you'll never miss a good show or a good meal.
Right. We are situated just exactly at the corner between Kiosk Gallery and the Trap Gallery, which is also a great place to stop, which is at 525 Gillis. So we're on the corner of Gillis and 5th.
You know, and you may not know the answer, but I'm going to ask you anyway. When I was there last time, I kept thinking, I wonder what the history is on this space. Do you know what it may have functioned as?
Of my space in particular. Yeah. So as best as I can tell, so I've got photos back to 1940 from the Missouri Valley Collection, and it was a storefront, a grocery storefront. I know somewhere in the interim they made Italian sausage in there. I still have some plumbing remnants of when it was a sausage shop. It's been a clock restoration shop. That's what it was most recently before I took the space. They are still there and also a phenomenal institution in Columbus Park. They're on the other – we share a wall. They're on the east side of the building that I'm in.
Terrific. Chris, is there anything that I left out that you want to mention that we haven't –
Well, I think for those that can't see the project that I'm doing in Denver, I do have a couple of projects in Kansas City that are worth mentioning. I've got a project in City Market Park right now called The History Vendors that's about the history of the River Market area. That's a
That's important.
Kansas City Art Commission project. And I have a large public installation going in at 20th and Main. Mm-hmm. That's a new where the new Hilton Hotel is, and that is slated to install. Actually, while we're out of town, it will be installed, and it's going to open October 1.
Beautiful. You are a busy woman.
Yes.
We love that about you. Thank you so much in coming in and talking with us, Chris. Gillis Gallery Art Lab, 1029 East 5th Street, Kansas City, Missouri, chrisdahlquist.com. Safe travels to you, my friend, and hello to Kyle.
Thank you.
Very good. You know, that rounds out our hour with ArtSpeak Radio. Thanks to Chris Dahlquist, Arts Casey, Allison Patterson, Eric, and Aaron Dodson. Next week, August 9th, we'll feature Rochelle Weisoff Fields, Jessica Connolly, Christine Barrett, Debbie Barrett Jones, a Kansas City Photographer Society, I'm leaving a letter out there, and Regina Del Carmen. They'll all be in the studio next week. We got a full house next week. Stay tuned for Jeff Harshbarger, who's up next, Jazz Afternoon. Listen, I want to thank you so much for tuning in today, listening to us, and we love you for that. Like us on Facebook, please. I want to say thank you again, and we'll look for you next week. Honey, I'm coming home.